Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective is presented by YouTube TV. Try it free today at youtube.com/NBA23. New users only. Terms apply. Cancel anytime. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing a little after 2 a.m. on Tuesday. Joining me from across the street at the TD Garden, right after the Game 7 beatdown that the Miami Heat gave the Boston Celtics to move on to the NBA Finals, is Tim Bontemps.
8-7, baby. So that's Brian Windhorst in the third quarter of Game 4. Here we sit.
What you actually said was the funniest way for this to go would be for the Heat to win in 7.
And, well, first I said it's going to go 7 games, and then I said that. But here we sit. And it was pretty funny how it played out.
He thought it was funny. Joining us from Dallas is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
So I did think there was a reasonable chance that the Heat would win this game. I certainly did not make that prediction, just to be clear. I thought there was a reasonable chance because I felt the way that Game 6 ended favored the Heat. Even though that crazy play happened, I think the Heat were better. And so when I got back here to Boston, you know, the thing is, I do get up in the morning a lot of times during the playoffs. By the way, it's 2 a.m. I got up at 5:45 today. I'm just telling you how it is. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you how it is.
Didn't take long to get a winning sleep update.
The get up meeting is at 6 a.m. on Zoom. If you don't eat breakfast during that meeting, you're not going to get to eat breakfast because it's get up and then first take and then today at Sports Center, and then usually it's like shoot around or something like that. So as we talked about, I get cereal because that's what I eat, okay, when I'm in the hotel. I don't even have time to go down to the breakfast at the hotel.
It's such a tough life. Such a tough life.
Bontemps was giving me so much crap because I was buying individual bowls. So I go, well, look.
Well, listen, to set the scene, we're at the Publix in Miami, the where we got the infamous milk that led to the liquor.
You're making it too long.
No, it's really going to be quick. And I said to Brian, as he was hoarding little individual boxes of cereal, why don't you just get a box of cereal, a regular box? Why don't you get one? That's all I said. And there it is, a family-sized box for the listeners.
Listen, get this man a Rice Krispies endorsement deal so he can afford to cover the cost that he's going to lose on this big old box.
I got a box of cereal and 10 plastic recyclable bowls.
How was that milk situation? Cereal this morning, though? Was it good? Was it tasty milk cereal this morning?
It was fine. And I'm just going to say that, you know, had the Celtics won, everybody would have been here in Boston for like 8 days, 9 days. It would have been. Anyway, my flight leaves in 5 hours, 6 hours. Okay. The Miami Heat's flight left an hour ago. They're going to Denver. They packed for a week and booked their and had their charter set for Denver. Now that
and why was that a controversy? By the way,
it's not a controversy. It's not a controversy.
because people are stupid. That's why. I mean, give me a break.
Of course, you have to have your prepare. If you know, by the way, guess who else had a charter booked? Boston
Celtics.
Oh my gosh! They were ready to go to the finals. Wait, why would they have had a charter booked?
I'm telling you, I just saw it on the boards. It was booked, and they had to cancel it.
To go where? They would have stayed home.
Oh, well, maybe that was Denver's charter that I saw booked. Anyway.
They had one booked last year after Game 7 to either come home or go to San Francisco. They won in Game 7 of Miami, and they went to San Francisco. That's what you do. It's called logistics.
Right, let's not focus on that. The focus on that this Bizarro series ended in a bizarro way. And the Celtics played tight. The Celtics struggled against the zone. And Jason Tatum sprained his ankle on the first play of the game, which absolutely hurt Boston's chances. But I do not want to hear anybody say that that was why they lost.
No, ask Jaylen Brown why they lost, because I thought appropriately was extremely accountable. Basically said, I failed. Jaylen Brown had one of the worst games of his life when they needed him to be the guy because Tatum did get hurt early on.
Well, listen, Jason Tatum also played 43 minutes. I mean, he was 5 for 13. He had 14 points. I don't want to hear about really that, like, oh, Jason Tatum sprained his ankle and the season ended. I mean, he was getting around on the court. He could do stuff. The Celtics did what the Celtics do. This is they're, you know, they're when down is up and up is down, that's how they operate. And guess what? Game 7 was the first time the pressure was on the Celtics again since game 3. And what happened? They laid an absolute egg across the board. Last two games of this series, they shot 16 for 77 from three. The Miami Heat, led by Caleb Martin, a.k.a. Steph Curry, shot 28 for 58.
Caleb Martin, who should have been the MVP and was not because of you, Bontemps. So we will get to that later.
We'll get to that. I feel just fine about my Jimmy Butler quote yet again.
Yeah, of course you do, you Jimmy butt kisser. We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. But
by the way, Bontemps is nagging the league office. Hey, we should just name this trophy. Forget Larry Bird. We should just name this trophy after Jimmy Butler next year.
By the way, the Heat, as you know, Pat Riley hates Boston. Dating back to when he was a player. Yeah. For the Lakers against the Celtics. And then, of course, when he was a coach. And he's had 27 years of battles against the Celtics since he's been in the Eastern Conference, including last year when he had to watch the Celtics take the trophies off his floor. Eric Spoelstra was very clear to made sure to point out that the joy that the Heat took with he praised the Celtics first and everything. But he's like,
yeah.
It was nice to take the Larry Bird and Bob Cousy trophies on the plane to Denver.
By the way, speaking of Pat Riley in Boston, what is your favorite press release of your entire career or your favorite statement via the PR department? Come on, give us the abridged version.
It was a jaw-dropping moment that was in New Orleans. Danny Ainge had said something on the radio. Can't remember exactly what he said. It was against LeBron. And the Tim Donovan, the Heat's longtime head of media relations, stepped out into the hall before Eric Spoelstra came out for his pregame availability. And he said, I have a statement from Pat Riley. This is very strange, very unusual that a statement would be issued verbally, not, you know, on or some sort of release. And very odd that Pat Riley, who typically comments on the record three times a year, one at the beginning of the season, one at the end of the season, and once a year at the Heat's annual family festival. I won't get into all those details. And his issue was Danny Ainge needs to shut the bleep up and concentrate on his own team. But he said the word. And Tim Donovan's not a joker. He's not a gregarious, like, sarcastic guy. He can have fun with anybody and laugh, but, you know, when he's executing the duties of his position, he doesn't joke.
The Miami Heat don't tend to laugh about anything. They are a by-the-book business organization.
That is correct. Doesn't mean there's not good guys there. We really are fond of many of their employees.
Especially Jimmy Butler, Bontemps.
Was in their locker room tonight, and there was a lot of people that I was happy for in that locker room. But it was quite a comment by on the record comment. And as I always tell people when I tell this story, if there was a fine for that, the league did not announce it. So, they played tight and the Heat played loose. And one of the things I wanted to know after the game in the Heat locker room is what did Eric Spoelstra, how did he decide to handle his team's devastating defeat? Because what called to mind to me was the Spurs in 2013 when Ray Allen hit that shot and they lost the championship. Now, that was the finals. But this was going to the finals, and this was with 0.1 seconds left. And the shot wasn't as challenging, but it was almost a more crazy set of circumstances. And, you know, after that game, Greg, the Spurs were absolutely devastated. I can still remember seeing R.C. Buford, the Spurs president, the look on his face after that game, because they realized they lost a championship. I mean, that close to a championship. And that night, Pop took them all to a Italian restaurant, bought a bunch of wine, sat with it with the groups of the players and like sort of talked it out and had a little therapy session to try to rally that team. And they did. They played pretty well in game 7, came right down to the last 20 seconds before the game was decided. LeBron hit one of the biggest shots of his career to ice the game. But so I wanted to ask Spoelstra, like, what did you do to get your team? Because they were loose. They were loose and they were focused and their game plan was tight. And they took a lead in the first quarter and never gave it up. How many lead changes were in this game? Like three?
I think there was one.
Really?
Wow. I think so.
I think you're right. So I asked Eric Spoelstra, and then I asked some players. I asked some players on the record, and I asked some players off the record. And Eric Spoelstra said basically he did nothing. He just said, all right, guys, we're going to go to Boston and play the next game. And he took a confident tone. I mentioned on the pod the other night, took a confident tone with the media. But basically, Eric Spoelstra was like, look, we operate the same every day, and we have the same expectations every day. And we're just going to get on the plane and go deal with it. And the players seem to be comforted by the routine of it. And by the time I talked to some players, when they showed up for the plane Sunday, people were in a better mood. They had a film session. And in that film session, when they got to Boston, they went over some of the things that they did well and some of the things they did poorly, but it was a basic film session. They didn't obsess about it. They all knew what had happened. They knew the challenge that they had. They knew they'd lost three in a row. It wasn't obsessed about. And they showed up for shoot around. And from talking to people, I guess they had just absolutely excellent shoot around. Not one iota of any lingering stuff. And I mean, that's easy to say, like, you know, you got to pick yourself up, but that's not human nature. That's not human nature. Not only when you lose a game like that, but when you've lost three in a row and the whole world is already talking about whether or not it's going to be the greatest comeback in Boston history or just NBA history or just this century or whatever. And they came out in the first quarter, executed their game plan and took the lead, never gave it up.
Well, and they also got fortunate that the Celtics could not hit a 3-point. I mean, literally 0 of 10 in the first quarter, five were wide open.
Missed their first
12. Was it 0 of 12? I mean, yeah. So that helps. But yeah, Miami basically went up there and kicked their butts. I mean, God, I cannot believe how bad Boston was offensively in this game.
Well, look, the Heat went 28 for 58 over the final two games of the series from three. Celtics went 16 for 77. This team lived and died by the three all year long. We talked about it a bunch. It was miraculous that they were able to pull off the win in game six, going 7 for 35. They came back today and tied for their second worst shooting game of the season. So they had their worst two games shooting of the season back to back. You could say that's bad luck. You could say that Jason Tatum spraining his ankle is bad luck. But the reason they're in this position and the reason their season is over is because they're a wildly inconsistent team that falls apart in close and tight situations. And that's what happened in game one. That's what happened in game two. And that's why they were in a position where they were put themselves in a spot where one outlier bad game ended their season. And at the end of the day, again, for all the talk about Jason Tatum's sprained ankle, the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals because of all the things that Jimmy Butler does for his team. And then frankly, all the things that Jason Tatum does not do and that Jaylen Brown does not do. For all the success that the Celtics have had, and they've had a ton of success, this group, but they have repeatedly fallen apart late and close games in the playoffs over and over again. Now, they've had a lot of successes too, but when you talk about trying to go forward with this group, obviously, you got to have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on this team going forward. They're two of the best young wing players in the league. And this team has got a bunch of guys coming back. There's a very bright future. There's every reason to think they're going to be a championship contending team going forward. But when you watch how Jimmy Butler is down the stretch of these games, and you watch how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are down the stretch of these games, and frankly, you mentioned it, Tim. I mean, Jaylen Brown had as many field goals as turnovers in this game.
That's like, unbelievable. Jimmy Most Butler, turnovers Jimmy, of his life.
Eight turnovers and
shot 8 for 23.
Jimmy Butler's not
Jimmy Butler's not having turnovers like that late in games. They're not just dribbling the ball off their feet.
Getting
all the time.
His pocket picked.
And some of the shots he took.
Taking the ball.
I was talking to Jackson when you guys were taking your sweet time signing autographs in the hotel lobby. Some of the shots he took, it's like, why are you taking a heat check when you're not hot? Like the no pass. Pull up contested threes or even
they were
long twos.
The zone defense tied them in a knot. They were consistently trying to solve the zone defense.
Well, I think where does that go back to? It goes back to them missing shots. They missed shots, and that just splintered their team because when they miss shots, they freak out.
But they were also out of rhythm because they were John Schumann from NBA.com said that the Heat played 34 possessions of zone tonight. And they, and the Celtics scored 19 points on those 34 possessions.
Well, I mean, they played a lot of possessions. That's like, man, they didn't score a lot on those either. They scored 84 in a game.
That's eighth grade basketball type production.
Yeah, I mean, they were awesome against the zone in game five when they hit a ton of shots, and they weren't today when they missed a ton of shots. Like, that's, you know, that's the story of their season.
So,
by the way, the other story was Caleb Martin outplayed Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum. And you want to give all credit to Jimmy Butler, 12-28, instead of Caleb Martin, 11-16.
All right, hold on. We'll talk about that in a second. Just hold on. Hold on. Here's the stats. Jackson gave them to us. This is the stats for the Eastern Conference Finals. Caleb Martin, 19.3 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 60% from the field, 49% from three, 88% from the line. Jaylen Brown, Supermax candidate, 19 points per game, 6.1 rebounds, 42%, 16% on threes. Oh, my God. 67% at the line. Look, I think he's getting the money, just so you know. I'm not taking a position against that. It's just today's a hard day to talk about it.
It's tough. He had a bad, bad series. I would still pay him. I would still feel, you know what, they haven't been able to break through, but they've got one of the best duos in the league. Both those guys have yet to even hit their prime. I would be in no rush to break that up. And you either pay him or you trade him. And it's like, usually you're trading a guy of that caliber because you're going into a rebuild. Obviously, that's not what they would be doing.
No.
Yeah, no, I saw people saying, like, is this their last game as teammates?
I would
be stunned. I mean, in talking to people on both sides, I think there's a very good chance they're going to find ground on the.
Because who are you trading for to get better, to get over the hump? Do you want to? We can talk about Dame, Trae Young? Like, what do we, I mean, and both of those are debatable.
The reason they lost this series was they couldn't defend.
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah.
They lost because they didn't score.
No, they lost this series because of a lack of poise. That's the difference. And that's the difference between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Jimmy Butler. Like, that's the difference. When the Heat are in a tight situation, like you talked about it a bunch, Brian, what's the thing you said over and over again about Jimmy Butler? He thrives on being uncomfortable, right? He thrives on being in tight, difficult situations and pulling his team through those situations. When the Celtics are in tight, difficult situations, they go haywire. And the end of these games are just absolute chaos. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose, but they're just chaotic all the time. And that's because their star players in those moments are chaotic. And that's the final thing those guys have to learn, is how to react and deal with those situations, because that's why this team is sitting here. It's sitting here because of a horrible third quarter in game one and a horrible end of the fourth quarter in game two. Like, and that all go, and it's the same thing going back earlier in the playoffs when they melted down in game five against Atlanta. And they melted down in game one when James Harden didn't, when Joel Embiid didn't play against Philly. Like, you go through the playoffs, it just happened over and over again. It happened over and over again last year. And that's why they lost. I mean, you could point to individual game things, but the Heat were way more poised. That's why they won.
Yeah. The Celtics, I've been saying that I thought that the Celtics would give the Nuggets a better series just because I thought the matchup was better. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Celtics lost 3 of 4 home games in this series.
Celtics the Heat are 11-12 at home over the last 2 years. The playoffs.
I think it's worse than that. I think it's like 12-13, actually.
Well, 12-13 would technically be better percentage-wise, but
would be. Okay. Pretty sure it's 11-12.
I'm pretty sure it was 11-12 going into game five, my friend.
Take that.
It wasn't.
Maybe it was 10-11.
It was 10-11. Then they won a game to 11, and then they lost 12.
Mea culpa.
So it's 11-12.
Listen, Wendy. The only math Wendy can do is how much sleep he got last night. It ain't
how
a
many,
lot.
Sleep he got, how many? How many shots? How many shots are in this box of cereal? The Heat won 4 of the 7 games, and Game 6 was a backbreaker percentage point loss. You could argue.
Yes. That also, it was insane that the Heat were in position to win that game.
Okay.
Before but the Celtics stole it at the end. But yes.
Fair enough. But they were ahead by a point with 3 seconds left.
The Miami Heat should get rolled in this series. But people have been saying the Miami Heat should get rolled going back to the start of the playoffs, and they just keep winning. So at this point, I don't know what the hell is going to happen in the series because I just keep expecting them to lose and they don't.
I mean, I think the Nuggets win the series, but you know me, I've never left that Jimmy Butler bandwagon. I believed all the way through, even after that game 6. I said, hey, if Jimmy says they're going to do it, I still believe in them. You can't cut out Jimmy Butler and Spoelstra from those guys, but this would be a massive upset. The Nuggets are a significantly better team, and they don't have an answer for Joker. I know Bam's one of the better defensive centers in the league. I don't care. They don't have an answer for Joker.
Bam against Jokic have been not great.
Bam might want to remember how to put the ball in the basket.
Well, that's the other thing.
It's been rough the last couple games.
The Heat won these games 4 out of 7, very close to 5 out of 7. And Bam, the last 5 games was dreadful. Now, he gets things done at the defensive end.
Scoring, he was dreadful. He did other things, but he could not score.
Yeah.
There was one tonight where he basically had Derek White sealed underneath the basket, and he just went up and missed a layup. I'm like, dude,
Tim, that was rough. That was 2 possessions in a row. He had Derek White on the block, 2 possessions in a row. One time he threw this insane pass to nowhere, and then the next time he did that and missed the shot. We were sitting there going, like, what is this guy doing? It was wild how bad Bam, like, the fact that they won this game with Bam playing this bad, like, it was wild because he was horrendous.
We were talking, Bontemps and I were sitting together at the games, and we were talking about Bam, and then we were also talking about Caleb Martin, who, as Tim said a minute ago, we started calling Steph Curry about game 5.
Steph Curry won a conference of finals MVP last year. If you call him Steph, give him the damn award.
All right, let's go talk
about
this.
That's where I was getting to.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's the roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, I get to it then, because this is a terrible selection.
Was there 11 voters or 9 voters? I can't remember.
9.
5 before Jimmy won it, because Jimmy Buttkisser over here did not have the courage to go off. I'm serious. He wants a trophy named after him. How? Like, this is, to me,
I didn't say that.
This is even worse. Yes, you did. You said it last year when you voted for him on the team. At least you got the team right this year. I'll give you that.
I said I want the trophy named after him. Yes.
Okay. You said it last year when you voted for him, despite the fact that his team freaking lost. And then you said it again when you voted for him, despite the fact that Caleb Martin was the most valuable player in this series. The man shot 60% from the floor, 49% from 3-point range. Jimmy couldn't score these last couple games with any kind of efficiency. Bam went You know, his offensive game totally disappeared, and Caleb Martin propped this team up on his shoulders and carried them to victory. And you deny this man the best moment of his career just because you're just like got Jimmy bobbleheads at home or some crap? What's going on? I don't understand.
I supported his vote.
Oh, geez. Here we go. This is the one time I've ever agreed with Bontem. This is when he called you a jackass. This should have been your prime opportunity for revenge, but here you are gone.
I think we might have said this the other day. Bontemps cast his vote for Caleb Martin when it looked like the Heat were going to win in game six.
Well, no, I didn't. We got
some real controversy.
Well, no, we didn't get a chance to finish. With 6 minutes to go in game six, I was ready to vote for Caleb Martin. And then Jimmy Butler closed.
I believe you cast your vote. Did you?
Jimmy got MVP because he performed well for 2 minutes of a game that they lost? Your logic's getting worse here, dude.
Well, we thought that. No, just settle down.
You didn't. You're not even letting me finish. With 3 seconds to go.
I know you hate interrupting.
You like to interrupt too, there, Pally. You've been just barking at me the whole time about this vote. I voted for Jimmy Butler with 3 seconds to go in game six because of the way he closed that game and the fact that he dragged them over the finish line, just like he dragged them to the point where they had a chance to win that series.
They didn't get over the finish line in game six.
I had to submit a vote. Obviously, they lost the game. So then we move forward to game seven. Obviously, that vote didn't count. I'm just saying that was the vote that I sent to Tim Frank at the end of game six before Derek White extended the series. We come to games. Brown only brought that up.
They needed the votes. They asked for the votes. They needed to know who's going to win.
So I told them I was going to vote for Jimmy Butler. Well, then the series didn't end. So now we come to game seven. And again, Caleb Martin was incredible in this series. I started calling him Steph Curry even earlier than game four or five because he was hitting every shot. However,
and rebounding and playing defense.
Yes.
I know. We later decided he maybe should call him KD. Look, when he was hitting step backs.
He was awesome in this game. He was awesome in this series. But the guy who was winning these games for the Heat, including this game today, in my opinion, was Jimmy Butler. At the end of the first half, the Celtics were making a push. They got it down to, I believe it was 6 or 8 points late in the first half. And the ball there was about 2 minutes to go in the half. I turned to Brian. I said, this is a huge potential swing moment in the game. Boston has been rough here for this whole first half. They can get within 4 or 5, go into the break feeling really good, or it can go up to 12 or 13. Jimmy Butler immediately comes down and hits a three, then immediately comes down again and gets a bucket, puts them up to 13. They go into the half up double digits. He then comes out to start the second half, immediately makes a three at the start of the third quarter. Then at the beginning of the fourth quarter, he comes down, he gets a switch on Robert Williams, he buries a jumper in his eye, then comes down, steals the ball from Jaylen Brown, goes down and dunks the ball. Ended the game with 11 minutes to go.
Takes it from 8 to 13.
Caleb Martin was awesome. But if you from start to finish, the guy who drives the Heat and drove the Heat through the series was Jimmy Butler. And I asked our boy, the laugh track, who was sitting there with us.
Oh, God.
I said, who would you vote for?
President of the Jimmy Butler fan club.
Well, ultimately, I don't think there was a wrong vote. But
also, Jimmy was huge in games one and two where they established themselves.
He literally took over the game down the stretch of game two and just stole it from the Celtics. Like, Caleb Martin had a great series. But at the end of the day, it was basically a tie. And I went to the guy who's the best player on the team and who ultimately was the guy that won them the games. It was brutal. It was a harder vote, frankly, than last year when Jimmy Butler.
You had a terrible vote last year.
Well, I think that vote looks better and better by the day. So I'm
dude,
fine.
You can't. They still lost the series last year, dude.
He was the best player by a country mile in that series.
I supported the vote. And again, we were having a Caleb Martin love fest.
You also eat bad cereal, so you clearly don't have good taste.
What else
I'll
you
say this.
Say?
I've already
if
gotten
if
this. Already
if you had Lucky Charms this morning, the Celtics would have won.
I've already gotten about as many comments about this vote as I did the one last year. So clearly this is the most controversial thing of the year, is the Eastern Conference Finals MVP award, which didn't exist until last year. So
I did call you out on Twitter to
ban the flames a little bit. Trust me. I was getting texts from our friends around the league and things who were either up or down on it. But
I mean, look, it's reasonable. People can disagree. Obviously, a bunch of
and so can we.
Yeah, I just fine. Don't think it's I think it's kind of crazy for anybody to be outraged either way. Both the guys are deserving of a vote. I thought it's pretty reasonable to me that it was 5-4.
Wendy, how did you let Bontemps get our vote? That's another controversy we got to delve into.
I'm not looking for that vote for this exact reason.
You just want to be in an advisor role, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, when Andre Iguodala in the 2015 finals, Andre Iguodala won
another bad MVP. Vote.
And a lot of people thought that LeBron should have won. LeBron got some votes. And, people have still living down the way those votes went. And
by the way, in retrospect, this would have looked like an Andre Iguodala vote if Caleb Martin had won.
Did Andre Iguodala shoot 60% from the floor in that series and 49% from three-point range?
Again,
his accomplishment was he held LeBron under 40 points per game.
I'm just saying, you could make an argument for Iguodala then. You can make an argument for Caleb Martin. I think Caleb Martin was deserving of winning, but I think historically, I would say the right guy won.
By the way, they were talking on the broadcast as Martin's lighting it up. They're talking about, oh, cha-ching, cha-ching. He's going to get paid. Like, fellas, the Heat have him in a contract for a couple more years.
He's got one more year, and then he's got a player option. And if he plays anything like he did this year, he'll be picking up that player option.
I will say this. About the Heat. They always seem to come up with stuff. So P.J. Tucker walked on him. Went for $10 million. Was it $10 million a year? $11 million a year?
Got the full mid level. Mm-hmm.
Right. The Heat couldn't get to that number, not like they didn't want to pay him. They didn't have the mechanism to pay him. They didn't have the full mid level to use. And
like it's going to happen with Bruce Brown and the Nuggets this summer.
Exactly.
Yeah, Bruce Brown's free agency is going to be very interesting. Very curious to see what happens with that.
Yeah. In fact, it's going to be interesting to watch Bruce Brown play against Caleb Martin. Anyway, they signed Caleb Martin to a contract that started at $6 million. And,
four year, $30 million deal, I believe.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good.
So he's making $6 million this year. So less than P.J. Tucker.
Definitely less than Jimmy Butler.
than Jimmy Butler. And, tremendous production from him. He's not been a scorer in his career. You know, the Heat are, he's played.
Well, as Jackson just said, 0-25 point games during the regular season, 26 tonight.
This is his fourth year of his career. Is that right? I think it's his fourth year.
Something like that.
The Heat, after the game, this is very typical in the NBA, but the Heat were saying, well, you guys don't get to see him in practice, because look, he was coming down and like scoring at all three levels, stepping back, slashing,
at one point during the game, Stats Williams texted me and said that Caleb Martin was 9-for-10 on jumpers outside 10 feet in this game, in game 7 of the conference finals.
He's a 27-year-old in his fourth NBA season, who, by the way, was waived by the Hornets.
Yeah, somebody retweeted the announcement that the Hornets made in 2019 when they waived him. I think it was 19, might have been 20. Jimmy Butler was like, well, you guys don't see him in practice. You don't respect his game, et cetera, which I guess is true. But my point is, we've seen the guy in the league for years. He's never played like this.
He also didn't play in game 7 last year. Didn't play a minute. Didn't play a second.
So with all due respect, I certainly believe that he's put in the work. It's obviously clear. I certainly believe he did look good in practice, but this is not a situation of people not knowing who this guy is. He is playing brilliant ball at an incredible time. And considering Tyler Hero has been out, his scoring has been huge. They've really needed it. And their 3-point shooting as a team in the playoffs has been just absolutely unconscious.
Insane. 28-for-58, the final two games of the series. Like, it's just crazy.
And by the way, the Heat are definitely trying to make it sound like there's no chance or very little chance of Tyler Hero coming back for the finals. and he will not be back for the start of the finals at all. Definitely not. But I watched some of his pregame shooting. It's not bad. It's not bad. So put that in your back pocket and see where we are if we get to a game four or five. The Heat are making it sound like, no, it's not going to happen, but no, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, they're going to need some scoring to keep up with the Nuggets because the Nuggets are lighting it. The Nuggets offensive rating is 119.7
in the playoffs. They play so fast, and they play so fast.
Yeah. I mean, the Nuggets should win the series. They should win it convincingly. But again, like, I thought that these guys are going to get obliterated by the Bucks. I thought they were going to lose to these guys. I thought they could maybe lose to the Knicks. I'm giving up.
By the way, you know what BPI stands for? Boston Pain Index. That's what it is. It's the Boston Pain Index now. Not the Basketball Power Index. The Boston Pain Index. And it is at 100.
It was a pained building. TD Garden tonight was a pained building all the way around. It was tough.
Yeah, those folks came for a show and they left with 5 minutes to go.
They got a show. It was a horror show.
Yeah, it was a slow death too. They could, I mean, you know, they got it like to 8 or 10, like maybe.
Yeah, I think they got down to 7 at one
point. They got it to 7 multiple. They were down 7 at the end of the first quarter. They got back to 7 multiple times in the third quarter. They never got closer than 7 the rest of the game. And look, the Celtics have won more games over the past 7 years since Jaylen Brown's rookie year in the playoffs than any team but the Warriors. They've played the most playoff games over a 7-game stretch, that same stretch of any team in NBA history that didn't win a title. Like, they have made one deep playoff run after another and fallen short time after time after time. And they're still a really young team. They still got all these guys under contract. It's still a very bright future. But they at some point are going to have to find a way to make that final step. And, you know, I think that starts with their top players. You look at Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis. I just don't think Jason Tatum is quite at that level yet. And there's still a bit of room to grow to get there.
You know what happened the last time the Celtics got to 7? Caleb Martin hit a 3-pointer. MVP. MVP.
All right. Well, your vote, your non-counting vote is tallied. We appreciate it.
Yep. Now it's 5-5. You can give him a paper trophy when you see him in Denver. You can hand it to him. Hey, Caleb, here's your paper version of the Larry Bird trophy. I made it for you.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Before we go, a little news in the NBA today. Nick Nurse hired as the coach of the Philly 76ers. Philly, obviously, when you fire a coach like Doc Rivers and you have a championship level team, you need to make a serious move. They did.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the top candidate on the market. Depends on how you feel about Mike Budenholzer and Monty Williams, but he interviewed with at least three teams, Milwaukee, Phoenix, and Philly. And the funny Bontemps, because Nurse has had some interesting playoff back and forth with Joel Embiid over the years. And now they're going to be teammates.
Yeah. I mean, Joel just referred to him during the first round of the playoffs. You know, when Jacque Vaughn was asking for fouls, he referred to Nick Nurse asking for fouls the year before in the first round when the two teams, when the Raptors and Sixers played. Look, I think it's a great hire for Philly. Obviously, I know Nick from Toronto, but you know, like you said, if you're moving on from a coach like Doc Rivers, like Phoenix did, moving on from Monty Williams, like the Bucks did, moving on from Mike Budenholzer, you, in theory, if you have a championship level team, want to bring in an experienced championship level coach. Knicks obviously proven he can win a title. They had a chance to win another one in the bubble. They were in another game seven with Boston that went right down to the wire in the bubble. If they win that game, maybe they had won the title that year. And I think if you look at where the Sixers are from a talent standpoint, Knicks certainly got an ability to really boost them. I think that, you know, we'll see what happens with
I was going to say, where are they from a talent standpoint?
Well, we'll see what happens with James Harden this summer, but they've still got Tyrese Maxey. They still have Joel Embiid, the MVP of the league, under contract long term. They've got some salary flexibility potentially going forward. And I will say, if I'm a coach looking at these jobs, I trust the front office and ownership situation in Philly a lot. Josh Harris and David Blitzer are pretty solid, sound owners at this point. They spend money on the team. Daryl Morey is proven over time to get star players and repeatedly get star players. And it's a pretty big market. Like they've got a young guy in Tyrese Maxey, who I think has shown he can grow as a player still going forward. Obviously, there's a big question with James Harden, what happens with him. But if he does end up leaving, I suspect that Daryl Morey will find a way to turn that into something, even if it's just a trade exception to do things with. So I think it's, you know, obviously them getting Nick, you know, I think he's a really good coach. The Joel thing will be interesting, but it's just the first of many moves from them this summer to see where they wind up. But, you know,
Daryl's always got a plan.
You can say whatever you want about Daryl. He's always got 17 different plans going at the same time. So they'll be ready for whatever happens this summer. I don't think there's any question about that. And look, if Daryl's obviously got a relationship with Nick, go back to when he was with Rio Grande Valley in the G League. And I think if you were looking at guys who had ties to Daryl in this search, as much as I have a huge amount of respect for Mike D'Antoni, I don't think it would have made a ton of sense for this team to go down the D'Antoni route, given Joel is their best player and given the whole situation with the franchise. I just don't. It did not seem to me to be a thing that made the most sense.
I think D'Antoni could have gotten a lot out of Embiid. I think he would have actually helped Embiid. But I do think that the optics of hiring Mike D'Antoni would have been extremely problematic.
That's more what I mean. I think D'Antoni should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's an incredible coach. I certainly think he could work with Joel Embiid, but the whole
would have been perceived as a you're bending over backwards to kiss Harden's butt, you still might lose him type of deal. And that would have been pretty difficult. What do we think was the best job that came open?
I think it was the Philly job.
Over Milwaukee and over Phoenix.
Because you have Joel Embiid signed long-term. Giannis is not signed long-term in Milwaukee. And I trust obviously, you could certainly say that Devin Booker and KD are the two best players on any of these teams. But again, to go back to what I said before, I know what I'm getting in Daryl Morey and then Josh Harris and David Blitzer. The Phoenix situation is interesting, to say the least, at the moment. And I think, especially with these new rules coming in, it'd be very difficult for teams to add talent. You know, if I have my choice, I'm taking the MVP of the league that's on a Supermax deal, that's locked up with a young point guard that's on the team, and flexibility to go get players later, and a front office and ownership group that I believe is going to be able to get me players and has a track record of getting me players if I'm a coach. So for next season, Milwaukee, I think, is the best job, but who knows where they are after next season. And that's assuming that Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez are both back. We're both free agents. Let's see if they're re-signed. If they're not re-signed, then that might be the third of those jobs.
Embiid's three more years plus a player option.
That's an interesting debate. It's an interesting debate. For sure. There's not often you have this many jobs with this kind of talent come available. You know, I certainly, Adrian Griffin is a great dude. I certainly hope he does well in Milwaukee. These are prime time jobs with top 10, you know, maybe in Phoenix's case, two top 10 players in the league avail on one team. Those are not jobs that come open every day.
All right. We'll be talking more about that into the future. So, programming note. In the finals, we will have podcasts that post on game days. And we'll record in the day before. And we have plans to have special guests joining us. Can you believe we're going to let special guests in here? I don't want to give away what we've got booked because I don't want to make it through. These are NBA, a couple of head coaches who are going to be there. We'll see what else we get. We got a pretty high profile head coach booked for the pod that'll post on Thursday. We're going to record.
Is there such a thing as a low profile NBA head coach?
Yes.
Phoenix might hire one.
Mark Dagenault. Maybe we'll get Mark Dagenault. Is he a high profile coach?
No, remember, he's a LinkedIn head coach. Whenever Woj reported that he got the Thunder job, I Googled him, and his LinkedIn was the first thing that popped up. I mentioned that to him this year.
That's really funny.
I mentioned that to him this year, and, you know, he laughed, and it's no longer the case. Obviously, the guy's, you know, he's accomplished. I think
there's been some stories written about him.
But he did say that he can still go grocery shopping and most times not get recognized. So, yes, I think he qualifies.
That's going to change.
And wasn't – I think Jalen Williams, the lottery pick Jalen Williams, thought he was like a player development guy when he Wendy, were you the one who told that story? I forget who told me that story. Somebody wrote it.
I didn't hear it initially. Somebody wrote it. It wasn't me, but maybe I told it.
That's funny.
And then he was wondering why everybody had so much respect for this like player development guy, and you realize, oh wait, that's the head coach.
Yeah. So we've got a head coach scheduled to join us on Wednesday. I don't want to jinx it. So, and we've got some more stuff coming for the finals. All right. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. Thank you to Timothy Bontemps and Timothy McMahon. Thank you for listening throughout our conference finals coverage, and we'll talk to you in the NBA finals.
Adios, amigos, and apologies to Caleb Martin.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.